Director Wim Wenders' most recent film, Wings of Desire, has become something of a cult hit. One Greenwich Village theater has shown the film for a year straight. Wenders is one of the fathers of the new German cinema. These directors revived the German film industry in the late 60s and 70s, following its collapse during World War II. Wenders first became known for his German films Alice of the Cities, Kings of the Road, and The American Friend. In 1978, he moved to the United States and made the films Hammett and Paris, Texas. Wings of Desire is his first work since his recent return to Germany. It won the Best Director Award at the 1987 Cannes Film Festival. It's a brooding film about a guardian angel who falls in love with a trapeze artist, then longs to become a person so he can experience human love. The film is inspired by a poem by Rilke. Wenders co-wrote the screenplay with Austrian playwright Peter Handke. I asked Wenders why he wanted to return to Germany to make this film.
While I was gone, I lived in America actually for 8 years. The last film I made in America was Paris, Texas, and afterwards I felt like I really had done everything I wanted to do in America. And I felt I could only repeat myself if I make another American film. And also I felt a need to be working again in my own language. I had made 4 films in English, you know, and my English was getting better than my German, so.
You said you'd done everything you wanted to do in America. Were there really things, specific things that you wanted to do in America?
Yes, in a way I wanted to make a real American film. See, I'd learned filmmaking, so to speak, through the American cinema, and I came here in 78, made a few films, and I felt I really didn't get to make the film I wanted to make in the first place. Until I made Paris, Texas, and after that I felt I sort of had exercised my American preoccupation, and I had made a film about America and in America that told what I wanted to tell. So I really felt this was the end of my mission, so to speak.
Well, Wings of Desire is shot in Berlin. Do you see Berlin differently now after having been away for so long?
Yeah, of course that changes your point of view. If you're away for a long time, you look at a place that you were very familiar with different eyes, and that's why I wanted to make this film, because I'd been away for a long time and I wanted to make it as long as I still was like a stranger, because that's what you become after such a long absence. So I made the film right away when I returned to Berlin.
The film is about men who are angels and who are spiritual guides, but as angels they have eternal life, but they don't have the senses that people do. They can't taste.
Yeah.
They can't see in color, they see only in black and white, and hence most of the film is shot in this kind of sepia black and white. But one of the angels gives up eternal life for love, because he falls in love with a person. You've called this your first love story. Why did you resist making a love story for so long?
Well, in a way, Paris, Texas was a love story.
That's true. That was all about frustrated love.
Although it was like the end of it.
The aftermath.
Yeah, the real love story, we only catch a glimpse of it when in between we see like a Super 8 home movie of how beautiful their little family was 4 years ago. So Paris, Texas dealt really with the end of one, but at the end of the film I thought I could really deal with it.
So these angels can't see in color, so most of the film is shot from one of the angels' perspective, and it's in this black and white. Many of your films have been in black and white. It's not as if the films you made in the 70s were made before color was invented. I don't know if you've shot a lot in black and white because it's cheaper or because you really have an affection for black and white movies.
Well, that's a myth that black and white be cheaper.
Oh, really?
Actually, it is a luxury today. It is more expensive. It has come to that. And which is a pity, because it's a really beautiful medium, and it's like a lost art almost. It's a real hassle to do a film in black and white, and I mean, if you ask Woody Allen, he can tell you about the difficulties. So it's a real luxury, so it's a real choice now. And this film, and I made a few films in black and white, and a few more in colors, and this film I choose to do it in black and white because of these angels. And, well, it's nothing I found in the Bible, but I thought angels would be seen in black and white, because they don't really share any of our physical experiences, they are spiritual beings. And then I thought it'd be great if one of these angels finally decided to become a human being and then see colors for the first time and see his blood. Of course, he knows as an angel that blood is supposed to be red, but I thought, what a great experience if he can really see it and taste it.
Yeah, it's funny. He has to walk around and say to people, is this red?
Yeah.
Now, you were born in 1945, so you came of age right after the war. You're one of the post-war filmmakers in Germany who became known as part of the new German cinema. What do you think separated you and your contemporaries, and I'll include Fassbinder and Herzog, from your predecessors in Germany?
Well, we were separated from any predecessors, period, because when we started tradition, a decent tradition to a decent German cinema had been interrupted for 30 or 40 years. Like the decent tradition that one could refer to would be the 20s. So really there was no link, and for us it was really like starting from scratch. There was no film production to speak of. So the new German cinema in the late 60s, early 70s really had to reinvent itself completely.
Had the war totally wiped out filmmaking?
The war and the 10 years before, or the 8 years before, with the Nazis, who had really completely abused the film language and used it in a propaganda sense. And then after the war, it didn't really... It took a long time to get going again, of course. And then there wasn't so much happening in German films, and American movies really more or less filled the place of a national film industry. Germans didn't have much trust in their own stories anymore, so even the films made in Germany were mostly like westerns or some strange
genre films from another country.
Genre films from another,
the language of another country.
Totally. So we really started from scratch, and none of us really had its tradition in the German cinema. I mean, everybody found his own tradition somewhere. And my tradition, or what I really liked and what I learned, was the American cinema, of the classic American cinema of the 40s and 50s.
Yeah, I want to ask you about that in a second, but first I'd really like to know what made the time right in the 1960s for this revival of the German cinema.
Well, maybe there was a certain need after all this absence of stories in and about Germany. There was a certain need, maybe. And also, there just happened to be a few people who turned out to be talented, who were maybe encouraged by French or Italian or other European countries and their cinema. So there was just this outburst of talent. That's the way I think it has to be seen in the late 60s. Fassbinder, Herzog, Schlöndorff started a couple of years earlier. I made my first film in 1970, so it just happened all at the same time. And it did happen along with a change of the government regulations as far as film productions was concerned. The late 60s, they decided, because it was just no longer bearable that the little film industry that was left was about to vanish too. So they decided to fund and subsidize film industry. And they subsidized anything in the beginning. I mean, even soft porn, whatever.
As long as
it was a movie. So, and then, but another attitude started, and they really started to look if there was talent around. And in that time, there was some.
So the kind of personal movie that might have been overlooked in America in favor of big films or genre films was funded in Germany.
Totally, and That was on one side. There was suddenly a new economic basis, which was subsidies, government grants, and a way to coordinate these grants, which wouldn't be enough to make a movie, to coordinate them with television financing in a way that a movie would be financed partly through a television presale, but TV, which is only public television in Germany, but TV would show the film only after its theatrical exploitation. So suddenly there was a possibility to make independent movies, and we used the possibility. The other thing that helped a lot was an enormous solidarity among the young filmmakers and authors, and we created our own company, the filmmakers company, about 15 of us, and we started to produce each other and with everybody's help, and also a distribution company, because at the time there was neither production nor distribution available to us.
Now, you said that the movies that really inspired you were mostly American movies. Are there specific films that stand out in your mind as being the most influential for you?
Well, my masters, in a way, were really the people that made the classical westerns in the 40s and 50s. Anthony Mann, John Ford, Howard Hawks, these were the people I really learned from.
What was it about westerns that captivated you?
Well, it was all that space and that freedom to move and to see the horizon. And there was a nice rhythm about them, and they were beautiful. They were great stories. They always made sense. Always was a happy ending. They were always the good guys.
What kind of movie theaters did you see the movies in? Were the movie theaters in a state of disrepair as the film industry had fallen apart?
Not really. The distribution system was the only thing that was in good shape, mainly because it was controlled more or less by the American majors.
Oh, so that they could have good places to distribute their films in Germany.
When we started making movies, the percentage of German films in German theaters was under 5%. Was even down to 2% at some time. Right now it's up to 10%, which might still seem ridiculously little, but it's quite a big success after all, if at one point it was almost zero. So right now we have regained, well, a little piece of the action, but at least a little.
Like a lot of French filmmakers, you started off writing film criticism. Did those analytical tools that you applied to film criticism come in handy as a filmmaker?
Yeah, I didn't really think I was going to become a filmmaker. It seemed so totally out of the question in the late 60s when I was working as a critic. I just was working as a critic, and I liked that, and that was really a good school if I look at it retrospectively. I thought I was going to become a film critic or a painter, and even after I made the first and second film, I thought, well, eventually I'm going to have to go back to writing criticism. This can't be true. I mean, at the time, it was more likely to become an astronaut than a film director.
Mm. Now, some of your peers, and I guess I'm thinking specifically of Fassbinder here, have really been preoccupied in their films, kind of obsessed in at least some of their films, with post-war Germany, with World War II, with the aftermath of the Nazis. And I think your films haven't really been preoccupied with that at all, for the most part.
That's true. I haven't really made anything about Germany. I mean, my films always, in a way, tried to get out. They're mostly road movies. I traveled a lot, and I like to work on the road and shoot on the road, so my company is even called Road Movies. So actually, most of my films try to get out of Germany, and none of them, of the early ones, really were concerned about the country, except for one which is called Kings of the Road, which made a journey across the West German-East German border, which is some sort of strange no man's land in the middle of the country. But other than that, my films really try to get out of Germany instead of looking into it.
Did that desire to have your films get out of Germany have to do with just the typical restlessness and wanderlust that people coming of age feel, or did it have to do with getting away from the legacy of Hitler in Germany?
Might be. I mean, difficult to really analyze it, but I really never felt so much like I belonged there. Strange feeling that I already had as a kid, and it might have had to do a lot with the fact that I grew up in a country where nobody really wanted to look over their shoulder, and everybody was just trying frantically to rebuild everything and not think about the past. And even if you don't really know as a kid what this is all about and you can't put your finger on it, you still feel something. That might have a lot to do with it. And then really all the fun I ever had when I was growing up, and it wasn't much fun, I can tell you that, to live in post-war Germany, but all the fun was American. First there were comic strips, and there was movies, and then there was rock and roll. So, and it was all the good things in life were American.
What was the war's effect on your family?
My father was a doctor, a surgeon, so of course during the war he was a soldier. As a doctor, and I don't think he has to make himself any reproaches. He was not a Nazi, on the contrary. He was very Catholic. So the Catholics, especially during the 30s, a lot of them were working underground and in the resistance. So, but still, of course, I mean, they had to undergo a lot of hardship. My parents were separated for 4 or 5 years. And they lost a big part of their youth or of their lives when they were young.
So your father was in the resistance?
Not really, but I mean, the background was like during the 30s, he was in a Catholic youth organization. They always had these big battles with the Hitlerjugend, and he was imprisoned a couple of times. But then he became a soldier, in a way also not to be more in trouble. And of course then, until the end of the war, he was just a soldier.
Were there issues of guilt that you had to come to terms with?
Not with my family immediately, but of course it was all over. And even my father and my mother never really liked to talk about some of the taboos, like the concentration camps. And the whole time period, they didn't talk much about it.
And have you not talked much about it as well? Or
well, I found out later.
Mm-hmm.
I talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
But even in school, it was like German history ended with the end of the 19th century, you know? You'd never read anything after that.
Right.
Even history ended with the First World War.
Film director Wim Wenders is my guest. Just one more thing I want to ask you about that. I'm wondering if you've had to almost deal more with Nazi Germany in America than you did in Germany, in that probably so many Americans are curious about, you know, what your background was and, you know, how you reconciled the aftermath of the war and all of that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but of course, I mean, that happened a few times while I lived here. But then again, I also had a feeling that somehow, this was now 40 years later, the issue wasn't that burning anymore.
Mm-hmm. You first came to America in 1978 to work on to direct the film Hammett, which was produced by Francis Ford Coppola.
Yeah.
And was that movie the reason why you came to America? Or had you come here and then gotten the chance to make the movie?
No, it was a movie in the first place. They invited me to come over and to discuss this project called Hammett that was after my film The American Friend with Dennis Hopper, which they had liked, and they thought I'd be a good guy to do this detective story, Hammett.
Now, after making all these really, personal films, you made Hammett, which in a lot of ways is a genre film. It's about, loosely based on the life of Dashiell Hammett, but, you know, he gets involved in a caper in it. So it becomes a genre film. Was that a good opportunity for you, having grown up really enjoying American genre films?
Yeah, I mean, I was really familiar with Hammett's work long ago. He was one of my heroes and was one of my favorite literature was Hammett, Chandler, Ross MacDonald. But I always thought Hammett was really the master of that genre. So I was really excited, and I liked the project a lot. It took some time. It was a difficult movie to make because, in a way, it was between all sorts of genres. It was a detective story, and at the same time, it was a film about a writer. So it took quite some time, but it was great to work on it. It was great to work in Hollywood.
Now, the movie was not commercially successful, but I think it's really developed a cult following. I've read rumors of that you the film ran out of money, that Francis Ford Coppola shot part of the film. How much truth is there in that?
No, Francis didn't shot any of it. I mean, as a producer, he was, of course, responsible for the thing. We wanted to do the whole film in the beginning in San Francisco on location, and actually we shot a lot there too. And then the film was almost finished, and we changed the script several times. Then we edited it, and the studio had been, who backed the film, Orion, thought it was not fast enough and not enough action in it. It was too much like a film about the writer, too much a biography and not enough of the genre film. So we rewrote it, and we reshot a lot of it on stage in Zoetrope Studios in Hollywood. But I shot all of it, and Francis was supervising.
Was this a bad experience for you, coming from the freedom that you had with very personal films that were funded in Germany to going to Hollywood, where there's all these budget considerations, and it has to be fast-paced with lots of action, you know, all the things that you were mentioning?
Well, it's obviously a different world, but, I mean, I knew that I wasn't that innocent and naive. I knew that it was going to be different to work inside the studio system, but that's what I wanted to do, because all these films that I really admired, and all these filmmakers, also these European and German filmmakers who had come to America in the 20s and 30s had worked under these conditions, so I knew what was going to happen. I knew that there was a certain confrontation between the movies I had been able to make before, produced myself in Germany, and working under studio conditions. But it was an important experience in my life.
I want to ask you about Paris, Texas. Earlier, you said that you really loved Westerns, especially when you were growing up, and you loved the expanse of the areas that they were shot in. Mm-hmm. Paris, Texas is shot in Texas, and it opens with the scene of Harry Dean Stanton walking along this endless railroad track, and there's nothing in sight on the horizon, and it gives this real sense of loneliness and emptiness. Was that in any way a kind of homage to the Westerns that you loved?
Yeah, in a way, of course. The landscapes in Texas, Arizona, New Mexico, where we shot, really looked sometimes like the spaces, the open spaces in the West, in John Ford's films. And Harry Dean, in the beginning of Paris, Texas, really comes out of Mexico, and he crosses the border illegally like a wetback. And so I really liked working there with the light and the incredible colors of the American West.
I think it's so interesting that you, as a German film director, so beautifully captured the American West, you know?
No, I don't think it's rather normal that one would really like and love this.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and I had great help with my cinematographer and all the crew, and I think we really succeeded in capturing some of the beauty of the American West.
Do you think that your sense of film language and the pacing of your movies has changed at all by your experiences making movies in America?
It has changed. On the other hand, working for 8 years in America, I realized that, after all, I was not going to become an American filmmaker, and that really I came to terms working in America and being here, that I was really a European filmmaker and a German in my heart. So that's the reason why I went back. I realized I was never going to become an American director. It was just not my world, in a way. And also making movies the way they're made in America was just not what I was really best at, and I felt I could do my best much better.
What specifically did you feel like you couldn't fit into or you couldn't express in an American film?
Well, there's one main big difference, which is that an American movie really happens before you even start shooting. The film is designed and conceived from A to Z before you really go into production. There's storyboards and lots of work on the script with a lot of different people. So once you start the film, it's almost finished. I mean, the whole creative work is done. The shooting is just the execution of it. It's already a designed product before you even start. And that's not really the way I was used to work, and that's not really the way I want to work. For me, a film is something you really have to find out about while you do it, and you have to be able to react and change it as you go. So, and most of my films, of course, were scripted, but I changed enormously. I shot them when I was producing them myself in chronological order so that I could always change around, and even Paris, Texas was totally different when we finally made it than it was, it had been scripted before. And I prefer that method of openness, and that leaves more space to improvisation as well as spontaneity.
When you returned to Germany, did you feel that German filmgoers and German directors were really glad to have you back?
Well, somehow, yeah. Somehow I felt I was welcome. Some people, of course, said, hey, now he's coming back. He's been away for 8 years. So, I mean, in a way, some people made a certain reproach out of the fact that I've been away for 8 years. Mm-hmm. But then most of them were rather happy, especially as Rainer is dead and Werner Herzog has been away also and still is away. Schlönow is now working in America, so out of a sudden I was almost the only one left of the initial new German cinema.
Are you working on a new movie now?
Yep, I'm working on a science fiction film called Till the End of the World, which will shoot all over the planet, actually, in 17 countries and all 6 continents. And
wow.
It's a film that takes place in the year 2000, and I'm already in pre-production now.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us about your life
thank
and your
you,
movies.
Terry.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.